got the band back together. Everybody close to their mics. I never thought I'd have to say this, but I actually had to tell Uncle Clint that he needs to speak louder. He was Donnie, the Don. The Don said, I was listening to your guys' pod. I couldn't hear Clint until he was yelling. I said, well, at least I got him yelling a little bit.
The Don's ears aren't pretty good either.
That is true. That is true. We are going to talk about the Cubs. And just like I was looking for the quote and I found it. It's from the worst of the Godfather movies. It's from Godfather 3, which shouldn't even be mentioned because 1 and 2 are all-time classics. But Pacino does say in it, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And that is the Chicago Cubs. We're going to talk about them. I thought we were going to get a break, but we are not because they're making things a little bit interesting, even though right now they're down 2-0 to the Pirates. But I think they're going to they need to come back in this game. But they did get, I think they got within three, and then they dropped the first one.
You can't blow a game against the Pirates that you win them for 8 innings.
Well, let's not get it. Hang on. We got to wait a second because I'm just doing the introduction because we are also, we're going to talk fantasy football. We're going to talk about the auction draft that I did for you because we had never done one like that before. We're going to talk about some season pops and flops, and then we're going to close with the pick six. We're going to do them together. We're going to go through the games. We're going to pick them. I tend to think that early in the season is your best chance to win the pick six because they don't know yet. The lines aren't necessarily set right. I think we got a chance to pull one out in the first 3 weeks. So let's put our picks together. We'll go through each game and decide on the ones we want. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, let's start it off with the Cubs. They sucked us back in. I thought they were done.
Well, I was never sucked back in.
No. You stay with it, but for the podcast, I said if they don't start doing something, we're not leading off with the Cubs. We're not, unless they get going, we're not doing it. And you know
what? That's just not loyal.
It's not. It's not loyal to the pod. I don't want to talk about an average team.
Well,
I want to talk about a team that's
going to
make the playoffs. I want to talk about a team that's going to make the playoffs. And you're seeing what could happen. If you put big money into a big-time player, he can help you win games. That's what Dansby Swanson's actually done for a couple weeks. If he did it like the contract we paid him, we'd be in the playoffs. When he's hitting and he's rolling and he's playing short the way he does, the team's winning more games. Again, you still need pitching. You still need all these other elements, but that's what you need.
You also got Crow and Amaya and these guys starting to hit that hadn't hit all year either, too.
Correct.
The bottom of your order is starting to go a little bit. And like yesterday's game, I was just talking to you a few minutes ago. This is where a guy like Mark Biter Jr. is very important. He would have came in that inning and probably had different results. But we, for whatever reason, shipped a guy out of town and... That's just a game yesterday that you cannot lose. That's a game you have to win. You know, we've blown between Al Zelaya and Neres this year probably 15 ball games, and we're 3.5 out. I mean, they could easily be in this thing with no problem. But we got 27 games left. Most of them against teams below 500. I think the Yankees and the
Dodgers. We got to win those Dodgers.
Dodgers, and then I think the Phillies. Are the only other teams we play that's got any type of strength left in them. We need to win every other game. We can't be farting around here. You can't lose 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh and stuff like that. We need to win these games.
I agree. I was looking at the schedule thinking, we got a shot here. We need to stay in against those top teams, and then we got to win series against teams like the Marlins and the Pirates.
2 out of 3 against the Yankees and the Dodgers. Both of them.
I know. Those are going to be tough series. But again, they got to continue to win games here. It's been fun watching the offense actually produce runs.
The Steele thing, I think Steele's done for the season. I think he's out. I don't think there's any way in the world you would have pulled him from today's game if he ain't got something serious going on. I mean, it's a big game today, especially with their number one schemes going.
Cubs have actually done a nice job with schemes. I mean, they had the bases loaded twice. And they didn't get anything. They had first and third, one out, and they didn't get anything.
So. Well, Skeens is like 75 pitches in through three innings. So we're going to get plenty of bullpen work out of the Pirates in this game.
Well, we got to should be able to get bases loaded like that. We got to get runs.
The Pirates did. I mean, they delivered when it mattered. So, yeah, I mean,
we got to do that.
I agree. We had Nico up the first time, and Seiya, who he's the guy you want up with the bases loaded. He's been their best hitter. Nico, he just hasn't had it this year. He's got no power. You know, he's betting 240. Just hasn't been a good year for him. No, I know. I know.
I've been watching this Paul Skeens. This guy's going to be the best pitcher in the league for a while.
He throws absolute gas, but I'll tell you, for such a big, strong dude, he's constantly up there shaking his head. Maybe it's just this game. I don't watch him all the time.
He does one time.
Body language stinks. He's shaking his head. I don't know what he's shaking his head about. He's throwing the ball 100 miles an hour.
The other day, I was listening on the radio to Craig Maddux. He had signs to call all of his own pitches.
Like I did.
Rub his nose, touch his head, something like that. He would actually call his own game.
They said that Maddux called his own game. They said that he had instructions to the catcher in terms of where to catch the ball, at what depth.
Yeah, like rub his arm.
And he had all these things. There's something special coming out on him.
Yeah, I just heard it the other day on the radio, and I'm like, really? And Maddux is on there saying, yeah, sometimes I'd rub my hand. I'd scratch my shoulder, I'd just do something, and only we knew what was going on. He said, but I was pretty much calling every game.
There's a special coming. I don't know if it's Netflix or what, but whatever it is, it's supposed to cover him.
Oh,
yeah,
Bears Hard Knocks is on tonight.
And some of those different, that's right, Bears Hard Knocks final episode is on tonight. We'll be catching that after the pod. So when everybody hears the pod launch tomorrow, just know we're doing this before Bears Hard Knocks. Otherwise, of course, we would mention it and talk about it. But we will have to see that because Maddux came with a different brand of pitching and the cerebral side of it and the way he played defense. I mean, he was such a unique player. But to close out on these Cubs, look, we got to win these series coming up. They have to beat the good teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, and then they obviously got to take care of business against the sub-500 teams, and they're going to see a few of those as well. And if they do that, they're within 3 games right now. The Braves are going to have to be the team to fall back. I don't think they're going to do it. I still don't think the Cubs can catch those top 3, but really again, there is enough time to do it.
I'm not really too concerned about the Mets. I know they've had a bad year with injuries, but they just seem like a team where they just can strike when it matters.
Yeah. The other thing when it comes to the MLB that I want to mention is Shohei Ohtani is still on a tear, boys. I keep telling, I don't think he's going to get there. He stole 3 bases last night. He got up to 46. He's at 44 homers. He's making 50-50. He's going to do it. I mean, if he's durable. He's out there every night.
How many stolen bases did Ricky Henderson have?
Oh, God, that's not deep. Ricky Henderson wasn't a home run hitter. Ricky one season what was the single season record? Was it like 130?
130.
I don't know the exact number, but Ricky stole over 100 bags multiple times.
And Vince Coleman had a lot, wasn't it? Vince Coleman had a lot. That's who Ricky broke Vince's
most
record.
Stolen bases in a season. Ricky Henderson, 138.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 138 was achieved by Hugh Nicol of the Cincinnati Red Stockings. In the modern era, it's 130 by Ricky Henderson. He did that in 1982, and that passed up Brock. Brock was 118 in 74.
Okay.
So Vince Coleman stole over 100 bags a couple times.
Too.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up and see how many, but yeah.
How many does that Ellie De La Cruz got right now?
He's in the high 60s.
I was going to say, he had 50 a while.
This here says, Vince Coleman, the only player to record 300 steal seasons in the modern era. So pretty cool. Hey, Caden, guess how many career stolen bases Ricky Henderson has?
It's got to be like 1,300.
1,406.
I was going to say 1,300.
I don't care how big you make the bases or how many times you don't let pitchers throw over to first. Nobody's stealing 1,400 bases.
No, that's an unbreakable.
They can change as many rules as they want. Ricky Henderson is the stolen base champ.
That's an unbreakable record, no doubt.
We want to talk a lot of football tonight, but before we get on to it, a very specific Sox fan reached out to me. Shots were fired at the Big Hurt last time. Uncle Clint fired a big shot out at the Big Hurt, said he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, he's just a DH. White Sox fans across this city were losing their minds when you said that. The Big Hurt, one of the all-time best right-handed hitters, man. This guy...
I didn't say he shouldn't make the Hall of Fame. I said I don't think he would have made the Hall of Fame if there wasn't a designated hitter, because I think he would run into the same problem Mike Trout's running into, where he'd be getting injured all the time, and he wouldn't acquire the numbers that he needed across the board in order to be able to do it.
It's interesting. I was trying to find, when you said that, I was trying to find how many games he actually played first base, and believe it or not, it wasn't that easy to find.
It's about a third.
Was it really? It was that low?
One-third of what he played for his career.
I did not know that. I was having a hard time. I'll be honest. I was having a really hard time, even with the internet and all the tools out there.
DH on his stats. I'll get the number next time.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I think it was about one-third of his games.
So basically you're saying if he couldn't play DH, his career would not have been long. Because I'm telling you, the big hurt, man. For like a 7 or 8 season stretch.
You got the same argument with Mike Trout. Only Thomas actually hit the 500.
Yeah, but Trout, but Trout in his prime was. But he was one of the best. He was one of the best defenders in the game as well. That's what you're missing that part. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know if he won Gold Gloves, but he probably won a few Gold Gloves in there too. So as a center fielder,
I don't think his numbers are quite there yet.
He does need a little more time. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, but he can't stay on the field. Like,
well, what about? I mean, is Gale Sayers a Hall of Famer? I mean, sometimes, dude, if you're
too short.
To me, if you are amazing in everything you do, like for me right now, Shohei Ohtani, quit playing right now, Hall of Famer. I don't care. That guy to me is the greatest thing I've ever seen. The fact that he can pitch the way he pitches and hit the way he hits, I don't care he's playing.
He's still short career, though. You got to do at least 7, 8 years.
How many homers do you think he's got right now?
Probably over 200.
He's over 200 home runs, man. It's pretty unreal what he's doing right now. And his stolen bases, this is kind of a outlier year because he's out there so much. I mean, he's, you know, and he's walking a lot, and he doesn't have to worry about pitching, so he can be more aggressive on the bases. But he's had other years where he's stolen some bases.
I mean, he knows what's going on. He can play.
I was watching him take bags the other night.
Again, to the Sox fans, it wasn't that I didn't think the Big Hurt was a great player. I just, my argument was he doesn't make the Hall of Fame without the designated hitter.
Got it. Okay, that's fair.
If the DH isn't out there, he probably doesn't play long enough because he's injured.
Man, I just remember thinking back to him. The way he used to work counts, too. He's a guy that used to go 100-plus walks every year. Great on-base percentage.
If you want a guy that gets 100 walks and 100 runs scored, then Schwarber should be in the Hall of Fame. The guy does it every year.
Well, with a lifetime 303 average, many years Hurt was batting 330, 340 when he was hitting with power.
Average. He did have a high average.
And Kyle Schwarber, I don't know. Maybe. Does he have a chance to get the 500 home runs?
If he makes that, he's in.
I mean, he's got to have a chance, doesn't he? Caden, how many home runs does Schwarber have? We got to make use of you over there somehow. He's got a computer, and he's not saying a word about this. He's clearly doing something.
You know plenty about it.
You're doing something else.
A little while ago, and I think he had a 40-homer season in 2020.
Schwarber has 28 right now.
Yeah, but how many for his career?
Yeah, get his career numbers. Baseball reference him. I want to know, how many you think he's
274.
I was going to say about 300.
And he's 30.
How old is he?
That should be at 31. The top.
He's 31?
Yeah. He's straight DH, so he's got a shot.
No, he plays left field.
I think he could get close. With the DH, like you said,
Are you talking about him getting to
300?
500. Oh.
For a career.
No, I don't think he's going to get
it. I mean, 30 a year. Put him at 30 a year first. Give him 30 and say for 7 more years, puts him on the doorstep.
That's 38 years old.
That puts him at 38. He could be at three. No, he's probably going to, you know, you figure he'll hit mid-30s this year. You know, mid-30s.
What'd he say he is, 275?
He's kind of a sleeper for 500 homers when you think about
it. He might make it.
That'll be kind of interesting. All right, we got to get to football. We're moving on. All right, first thing for football before we get to the pick six, we're talking fantasy football. Now, Uncle Clint and I, we got started on it last week. This is going to be the final kind of preseason fantasy talk because by the time we come back on, we're going to be talking about real results. We got the season starting. KC plays Thursday night. There's a lot going on. But I want to talk about this draft. Uncle Clint, now keep in mind, I do not participate in fantasy football, meaning I don't have a team, I'm not in a league, but because of the podcast, I've been getting involved with stuff. I know Caden's draft and the teams he's involved with. Uncle Clinton, I don't know how many different leagues. Uncle Clinton, so many fantasy leagues that I was able to draft one for him. Me and Caden did an auction draft. And hey, Caden, if you're typing on that, you can hear it on the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
So let's not be doing too much of that, unless you're looking up something productive.
I am.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. The band is back together here. You notice? The band is back together. Caden's out down here. At least he doesn't have food, but he's pounding away at the computer, but he's not giving us anything. Are you going fantasy on that thing? What are you coming up with? Because I want
to... You told me to stop typing.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. The auction draft, different. And a few things that I saw now, Uncle Clint's in fantasy...
I looked up that there's that the only 25% of the drafts in the world are auction drafts.
Interesting. Okay. Well... What I noticed is this. Tough. Number one is the guys that Uncle Clint works with are guys that they do this a lot. I mean, these are guys that know what they're doing. So you're not going to run one over because I'm watching going, if you're doing an auction draft with guys that don't know what they're doing, you could sneak a player out of that thing. If guys are sleeping, all of a sudden.
All these guys know what's going on.
Yes, because I was watching. I'm like, oh, they might let this guy go. And then sure enough, you know, someone was on it. You let it get down to 1 second. Right. But, I mean, there's information. You got to be engaged in the draft or you could miss something or somebody could sneak away with a player.
The last 4 years, I got 2 wins in that league. Masqueraders has got to win, and then that Barachos got last year. He creamed everybody.
Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about Barachos. Barachos, he, in the first, within 5 picks in, he had 3 of his guys, and he had spent $178 on 3 guys. Barachos, he got the 2 big-time backs.
Barachos got a strategy. He buys the guys he wants, and that's it. I mean, he picks his
guys. He did that. There was no down look. I'm going, he's got $18 left, and he's got 11 spots to fill. But
wait, how did he do it?
Well, when you get down, you
look
can...
Look at his roster.
Dude, you can pick up really good players with $2 and $3.
Good players for $1 and $2.
Now, keep in mind, it's a 10-person draft. There was no kicker, was there? Because I didn't draft the kicker.
We took the kicker out.
Right, there's no kicker. Here's where the funny things. I wanted to mention the funny things from this draft. But if people don't know how this works, you basically, everybody gets $200. Draft order does not matter. All you do is you nominate a player for $1. That's the draft order. And then from there, you bid each guy up, and top number gets the guy. That's basically the way the draft goes. And you probably want to use as close to your total amount of money as you can. You probably don't want to be sitting at the end of the draft with 30.
Guys left in money.
Yeah, you probably. I ended up with $8 because I saw some guys with some money.
One
and
guy
I'm thinking,
had 17, and then Keith had, I think, 20.
He had 20, yeah. I only left the $8 because I figured maybe you could do something with it later, and I really didn't think I needed
it. You get $100 for picking up free agents.
Yeah.
I'm separate from that $200.
Oh, okay.
But like,
I probably would have drained
like
it.
If you don't bid on a free agent, you can bid on a free agent and put no dollars. But if somebody else bids on them and puts like $5, they get them.
Okay.
So that's what that other $100 pool is for, on top of the $200 to get in.
I made one mistake. I was trying to put up Johnson from the Carolina, and he was listed as the top player left, and that's usually if you don't nominate somebody, the top player goes up.
Right.
And somehow I put Purdy up. And when you put somebody up, if no one else wants them, you end up with them for the buck. And that's how I ended up with Purdy. I didn't want Purdy. I think you're fine with him. You can drop him and get another quarterback, or there's plenty of guys you can go get for $1, $2 that are still out there. There's good players still out there. That's what I was amazed by, was you were telling me, hey, watch out for this sleeper. I'm like, dude, I'm on my last pick, and I'm picking up an RB1. I picked up Gus Edwards for $1.
Right.
He's the Chargers' number one running back. I picked him up with the last pick. I mean, so there was a lot of – that's what I noticed. I'm like, man, in other drafts, it don't seem like there's this much quality left at the end. And there really, really was a lot. Like I say, that guy with $18, he was able to put together – I was watching who he was picking up, and I'm going, yeah, you got another good guy there, got another good player. So he was able to scrape it together, and so people want to know how he spent $178. It was Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, and A.J. Brown. Those three guys he spent it on. I went a little bit more towards durability.
He's a guy that thinks like I do, though. He's a guy that believes you got to have 2 running backs to win this sucker. I mean, and he was willing to pay a premium to get the guys he wanted. So, I mean, and if them guys stay healthy, he's going to be in the hunt.
I was going to say, but he also picked a couple of young guys that haven't fully proven themselves in the league. You got Bijan Robinson, who I don't care. He is going to split carries with Algier. He's going to. Algier's going to get some carries on that team.
I don't think that much.
I'm telling you.
You don't draft a guy that high in the first round to be flopping carries.
How many carries did he get last year, Algier?
I looked that up.
Go ahead and look it up. He got some carries. Algier got some carries. Jahmyr Gibbs split a lot of carries and missed a lot of touchdowns out.
Well,
to
Gibbs
you know
is
who.
A legit RB1. He's going to be RB1.
Of course, but who scored more touchdowns on his own team than him?
I still think Montgomery's going to get 10.
David Montgomery scored more touchdowns.
I still think Montgomery's going to get 10, 11, 12 touchdowns again this year.
And then Breece Hall, what's he coming off? What was the injury last year? Was it bad?
452 carries for Algier.
No,
not last year, not in 23. You're looking at career. There's no way he was
452. That'd be like a league record.
This is just 2023. How many carries did he have?
17. Wait, no. That was in 2019.
We're not getting very good information.
We got computer man is way off here. It wasn't 17, and it wasn't 400.
Probably somewhere in between.
If it was 450, he'd be dead. The guy, you still don't have it, huh?
Wait.
All that computer work over there, and you don't have it. So, all right, so this is the other thing I wanted to mention on this. Well, he looks that up. You had the big spenders. I mentioned him. The guy's taking the putting the big money up. I ended up spending some money. I don't know. I don't even know that's how you say it.
I think it's
Uncle Clint was calling him Alligator. Yeah, it's something like that.
A-L-L-E.
The other thing I noticed.
Go to Atlanta and pull him up, and then you can find
the funniest thing during your whole draft that I just got the biggest kick out of was the Nico Collins
error.
So Trouser Tabernacle but accidentally takes Nico Collins off the board with a quick fire bid of $101.
I don't think anybody even challenged.
No one even knew what happened. It went like 1, 2, 3, and then when it got to 10,
186.
186, that's a lot of carries. So that's over 10 carries a game. So he's coming up. His pick comes up. We're at $10. He's trying to go to 11, and he punches in 101 and gets a lock. So now the whole time, I'm like, Nico Collins, this guy must love that guy.
Well, that's what they put it on my phone. Boy, you must have really wanted Nico bad.
And then he's typing in the corner. I was trying to type in $11. He's typing it in. He's going, I'm laughing because you guys take this stuff so seriously. He's like, my whole draft strategy's busted. And everybody, he's like, it's got to be overturned. He's typing in the chat. I don't know who the commissioner is, but no one was, I don't
no
think anybody,
names, no
he wasn't even responding to him. He just
no
left.
No name said on the text message on the phone. He says, I can't do nothing.
I was going to say, what is he supposed
to
do?
I can't do nothing.
I mean, that's the thing. Caden, when we were working it a couple times, he was reaching over and clicking the button, like the plus button to, you know.
You can't just click plus. You only got 200.
I had a couple times where I hit a 1 second bid. At the 1 second, I missed it, where I was trying to go up a buck with 1 second left, and a couple times I missed it. So I started doing it at 2 seconds. You know, but it happened all the time where you're like, am I going to get him?
There, those guys all know how to play.
Yeah, it was fun drafting. I'll tell you, every guy that we drafted played upwards 15 or more games last year. You know, looking at the numbers, which I like that. I like the durability there. And some of the guys, I don't want to give them away because they're some of my sleepers that I want to talk about later on. But I feel like we were able to get a really good stable of running backs and a good stable of wide receivers. And those were important, and I'm not mentioning them in pops and flops.
I think there's going to be more like action because of the way that, you know, there's still like good guys. I mean, there's good guys still. Like, I mean,
there was good guys available all the way to the end of that draft.
I got two or three wide receivers that I probably, this Spaghetti guy from Carolina, he'll probably be on my roster by the end of the year.
He's got Bryce Young throwing him the football. He can't see over the guy in front of him. This Bryce Young thing's going to be a disaster. That's my feeling. I had some misfires last year where I was very confident. I'm trying to think of what it was. There was one of the teams last year I was very confident was going to be bad, and they ended up being good. So I can definitely be off on this. You know what my big bad take was? It wasn't from NFL. It was when Harden first went to the Clippers. I thought that was going to be a disaster, and they were lighting the world on fire for like 2 months.
Right.
And I was like, where did I come up with that? I thought that wasn't going to work. And then sure enough, it ended up not working. But when that first got going, I was way off with that. In this case, I think the Bryce Young experiment is going to come to an end after this season.
They got a million-dollar bid on that U.S. Olympic sports card. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, autographed, one of one.
Are you serious?
Only one in the world, and a guy just pulled it out of
wow, man. I'm telling you, that's three top 15 guys
million,
right
he
there.
He wants $1 million for it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. All right, and then the last thing I'll mention about that draft was the QB discounts. Those guys do not put value on QBs. I mean, Mahomes, I think they spent the most money on. And then Allen. And then once it came to Lamar, it was like nobody even cared. And I'll tell you, I got Jordan Love for $3, and I think Jordan Love, it was more of a strategy thing. I think he's going to kill it for
you. He'll have as good a numbers as Allen will.
I really think, here's the sleeper with him. I think you're going to see him run a little bit more. I really do. I think you're going to see him get a few more balls in the end zone with his legs than he did. Last year, I looked it up. I think he had 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns. I think you might see like 6 or 7 out of him.
I'm interested to see what the Raiders running back that went over there does for
Samir White?
No, they went over to the Packers, Jacobs.
Oh, Jacobs. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I heard everybody's banged up already. I heard Jacobs is banged up.
They said Keenan Allen might not go already in week one. He's got an injury. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I heard DJ Moore was an injury.
Well, Keenan Allen, for those not watching Hard Knocks, looks like he's got maybe 8 to 12 extra pounds on him in camp. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Yeah. And he's getting older. And I think by the end of the season there, your number two wide receiver is going to be Rome Odunze. Yeah. And I'd almost guarantee it. I think you're going to see a lot of – you're going to see more targets to Komet than people think.
What about big old Mercedes Lewis still making the team?
Mercedes Lewis is like 90.
He's 40.
They say he's a good blocking tight end, though. They say he blocks real good.
Oh, man, I don't know. But he did. He made the team?
Yeah.
So did that wide receiver running back guy.
Jones, yeah, he's fast.
I mean, like Ian Wheeler better.
The Wheeler guy tore his ACL.
Tyron Williams being a punt returner, that makes me nervous.
They said no one played more snaps, percentage of snaps last year than that guy. And they said even the first 3 games last year, he returned punts, and he was still in the backfield for 80% of snaps. So I think you're good. And I also think
they drafted him back, though.
Sometimes, yeah, they drafted Quorum. You know, and I like Corum, but they're going to start him slow. I don't think he's going to be getting carries like Algier.
This guy from Las Vegas, he's a guy that could have a
Samir White
here. Yeah. That guy could be the hammer.
Rook?
He played, he was on the team last year, I think at the end of the year, but he didn't, he Jacobs is out of the way now. They don't have a running back. So, I mean, this guy's going to get the toe.
Here's one thing that I I've been working this with the fantasy strategy too, is I always look at the team, and the reason I do this now is because of what happened with the Jets last year, where Caden ended up with Garrett Wilson as one of his top picks, and obviously Nick Chubb. I mean, that just kills you when you lose Chubb. But when the team can't score, and it happened to the Giants too with a guy like Saquon, when your team can't score any points. And you're not going to have a great fantasy.
I drafted Jonathan Taylor one overall, basically had nothing out of him and still ended up winning the league. But
you got to make adjustments fast.
Like Masquerader said, he said, Clint, he said, you're one of the best waiver wire pickup guys that I've seen. He said, you get guys off the waiver wire way before anybody else and before anybody else seen him. He says, and that's why you're always in it when guys get hurt, because you're picking up the right guys. Like, I like Bucky Irving for Tampa Bay. I like the guy. I think Rashad White better not get hurt, or he might not be getting his job back if he goes out. I mean,
Uncle Click comes up with the deep sleepers, man. The guys that nobody's thinking about. That, like, he's projected, hey, maybe there's an injury.
Cincinnati, 15 catches last year, 4 of them in the end zone.
Oh, yeah, I did see
him. Imagine how important that is in a 5 wide receiver league.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's only caught 15 balls, but 4 of them are for 6 points apiece.
Nice. Okay, season pops and flops. Again, when we get into the season,
I switched my flop.
We go week pops and flops. We go by the week based on the matchups and things. But this is the whole season. My season pop, Dalton Kincaid. I think he's going to be tight end number one in the whole league. I think he's going to come in above Laporta. I think he's going to have 10 to 12 touchdowns. I think he's going to have 12, you know, probably 1,500 yards. I think the guy's going to have a wide receiver type monster year. He's my pop. My flop, Devon Achain. I think Devon Achain is too small. I think he's either going to get hurt or he's going to lose his job. I think one of those two things is going to happen. He was just
a big play for
He was lightning in a bottle last year. I don't think it returns. I'm not saying the guy's a bad player. I just think if you're banking on him as a top 10 running back this year, big mistake.
Here's what leads me to think that Miami's not as big on Achain as they should be. They drafted a running back.
And they got Mostert.
Why would you draft a running back if you thought this guy was going to be the guy? Jalen Wright's going to be the guy for the Miami Dolphins. I'm telling you right now.
You think by the end of the year he's RB1?
Jalen Wright's RB1 for that team.
I think so. That supports my flop there. You want to give your pops your season pop? Season pop. Go ahead. What do you got?
My season pop is James Cook.
Ooh, nice. Okay, you drafted Cook. I like Cook.
He's going to have a big year this year.
Okay.
Now, my season pop.
That's a good pop.
Is going to be a guy that nobody would ever pick. But I think because they got quarterback problems over there, my flop is going to be Double J Justin Jefferson from the Minnesota Vikings. I think he's going to have a bad year because they don't have a quarterback. I think he would have had a bad year even if J.J. would have stayed healthy, but I think he's going to have an even worse year now with Darnold in there.
I got to support it.
Jefferson's going to have a bad season.
Yeah, Jefferson really doesn't seem like a guy who can. I think with a good quarterback, he's going to have success, but without a good quarterback, he just doesn't seem like a guy.
Let me put it this way. They paid the guy. I don't think you're going to get $32 million worth of money a year out of him.
I gotta tell you, in your auction draft, there were guys on my do not touch list, and he was on it. There's a list of guys that I just did not want on the team, and in part because of quarterbacks, in part because of team, and in part because of injury.
I told Pep too. He drafted at Standard League for me, and he had the sixth overall pick. I told him, dude, at number six, if Derrick Henry is available, you have to take him.
In the standard? Yeah.
In the standard format.
Yeah.
So I got Henry in that league. And Henry, I think, is probably going to be 1,200 yards again, 12 touchdowns.
I think so,
again.
Too.
I mean, last year, I read a stat on Henry. Last year, he faced more eight men in the box than any running back in football. Still ran for 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns. Now he's actually got an offensive line in front of with Baltimore that can block.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's
gonna Henry's still going to have a good
he's
year.
He's going to have a rejuvenated season. Big season.
I think you're right.
And that white guy from the Raiders would be my other pop. I think that guy, outstanding. He's going to have outstanding.
Who is it from the Raiders?
Zamir White.
Zamir White, okay. I did not have my I haven't looked at him at all.
Yeah.
I will tell you, before you get into yours, Caden, I spent the most money in your draft on a guy I'm a little bit nervous about, but I feel okay about it because we banked so many good wideouts. I mean, I still bank McLaren. But
Tyreek Hill's a machine.
Tyreek Hill, I spent the money. I love it, but Manny makes me a little nervous because Miami makes me a little nervous. The team. I just need to make sure that Miami's going to try to put up a whole boatload of points like they did last year.
I still think that my guy Puka's going to do it. I think Puka's going to be top two or three wide out the entire
really?
So I got two pops.
All right.
So my
season
first,
pops.
Yeah, so my first one is Christian Watson from the Packers.
Okay.
He was injured, but he's really good for the Packers. Jordan Love throws a good ball, so I think he's gonna have a good year. And my second one is
he says he's got two pops. He's literally over there. Like thinking of him on the fly.
Why
would you go to two when we're just given basically one?
Another guy you got to watch out for on Green Bay, I think his name is Dominique White. I think he's their third wide receiver, but he could also have a big year for them.
My other pop is
he don't have it. All right, do you have a flop? Caden had one pop. Just so for the record, he had one pop. All right. He likes the Green Bay.
He said he had two
wide
pops.
Receiver number one. I know he's
and then my flop is Jordan Addison.
I believe that's probably a good flop. Isn't he out already? I heard that he's out.
I think he wasn't even drafted in one.
And what could be interesting is an explosive player behind him if I have the right team.
Ty Chandler,
Ty Chandler. He's an explosive player, but again, I'm staying away from the Vikings. I mean, there's just teams. If you don't have a quarterback, I'm tending to stay away.
A guy you might want to pick up though is Aaron Jones because they may have to have a heavy dose of him.
Is Aaron Jones
on the Vikings?
Yes.
Vikings,
yes, right. They picked up Jones. Yes. That's right. That's what yes. I was.
So he's
so
RB1,
Addison's
then.
Definitely
he's their RB1, and they may get a heavy dose of Aaron Jones.
Yeah, but he's not a bell cow. Even in Green Bay, it seemed like they kind of
he can catch though.
He can. He's a really good receiver.
And again, I like that guy. I don't think Devin Singletary has any chance of holding up for the entire season, as small as the guy is. I think he's going out, and I think that Terrell Jr.
Tyrone, you mentioned Terrell you like Jr., this guy. Yeah, yeah.
That guy can massively catch balls out of the backfield. And I think that's another guy that if you don't have, keep an eye on him and snatch him up. The minute you see Singletary go down and get hurt, snatch that guy up. Because that guy's gonna produce big
balls. I wasn't really impressed with Singletary, even with Buffalo.
You never really saw him with a full workload. You know, you never really saw him.
I thought he was still with Houston.
No,
he's with the Giants.
He's with the Giants now. The Giants picked him up after they lost Barkley.
Joe Mixon got Houston. See, if you're going to be on top of fantasy football,
yeah. You got to know where Mix is. Yeah, you're off. I forgot about the Aaron Jones thing. Legit, I forgot about that.
Let me give. Hey, Jordan Addison was the RB1.
I'm giving my sleepers right now. My number one sleeper is Josh Palmer with the Chargers. Was that your pop?
No, I found my other pop.
Okay, Josh Palmer with the Chargers. I love the guy. He's only 24 years old. They got rid of Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. Josh Palmer was the third guy there. He's only 24 years old. He's coming. They picked up McClonkey, but he's already looked like he might be banged up going into the season. Palmer's going to have a big year. I like him for 80-plus catches.
I got two other pops.
For 1,200-plus yards.
Yeah, no.
You lost your pops. Hang on. I'm going through the list. You lost your shot. Now I'm going through sleepers. My second sleeper, Austin Eckler. The guy's been written out of the league. I picked him up for $2 in your thing or something.
He had one bad year.
But he came back hurt. He had a high ankle sprain. He came back because I think he was in a contract year. He comes back early. He doesn't look like himself. Eckler could still have a big year. I like him in that offense.
What he does do is he will catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. I don't know if they still got Antonio Gibson over there. I know they got that Brian Robinson Jr. over there. So he's going to have some competition.
Yep.
Eckler should win the job, I would think. It's all going to come down to, you know, how much can Jaden Daniels do? How much running around is he going to do?
I don't like him.
My next guy. I think that he's going to be a phenomenal fantasy
player. I don't think it's going to be his problem. But
they ran for 1,000 yards his last year at LSU. He's going to be running all over the place.
I don't like the Commanders' coaching. I just feel like their coaching sucks. I don't think anyone can really. Just like Justin Fields with the Bears, I don't think.
Justin Fields with the Bears had nothing to do with coaching. Justin Fields with the Bears had everything to do with Justin Fields.
Justin Fields had good coaching.
Justin Fields is over.
One of the best coaches in the NFL right now. Still, he's still in it.
And he should have been the starter. Russell Wilson. Justin Fields will be a starter by week 5.
I think he will.
If Wilson's hurt.
I do.
I think Wilson's just going to suck.
I don't know, man. Fields is an accident waiting to happen. He's an accident waiting to happen. And they know.
Yeah, but Tomlin can generate some talent.
See, it's one thing when you're like Lamar, and they got to respect you throwing the ball down the field. I don't think they have to respect Fields like that.
The difference between a guy like Lamar and a guy like Josh Allen is 8 or 9 interceptions to 22 or 23 interceptions.
Dude, you're killing Allen. Allen's going to have another huge year. He continues to have huge years.
He can't win in the playoffs.
He can't win. The big money's on the line.
He has played well in the playoffs. Let me tell you right now.
Kansas City had a good game.
He's had more than one good game in the playoffs. Look at his record. He's had good games.
If a couple things went his way, I think he would be – some things would be better than him. Like Diggs, if he would have caught that ball, Bass would have made that field goal, like –
What do you got? I'm not the fantasy guy, and I got all this information on fantasy.
Well, I went with my pops, and you just
you came up.
Well, you didn't know who your other pops.
I do.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So Quincy Williams. Wait, no, no, that's a lineman.
Quincy Williams.
No, that's a Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, that's not bad.
And then there's another one. There's a guy who was on the Chargers.
Who's Quincy Williams?
He's a whole lineman. But
how's he going to pop? He's an offensive lineman.
No, but there's this guy with the who's on the Chargers.
Are you thinking about the guy with the Chargers, Clinton Jackson, that drops every ball?
Yeah. He's going to have a good year.
Clinton Jackson drops every ball that gets thrown to him.
Doesn't matter.
Cubs update, down 5-0.
Tyson Miller sucks.
Guy just hit a three-run home run on us. So that's no good. All right, you got anything else?
No.
Uncle Clint, you got any sleepers or anything you want to throw? You've already thrown a couple.
I'll mention, and I don't care if Bryce Young is his quarterback in that. This kid from Carolina is the backup guy, Legetti, will have 750 to 1,000 receiving yards this year as a rookie. I would get this guy in your lineup, and I would have him there. He's probably going to take over and be their number one by the end of the season.
You love getting involved with Carolina. Didn't you get involved with Carolina late in the season last year with some big games or something that you thought they were going to win? You did something with Carolina last year.
A survivor pool.
That's what it was.
I had to pick somebody, and I picked Carolina, and that turned out to be a terrible move.
And you know why you picked them? I think they were coming off that win against Green Bay. That was their only good game. It was their only good game. They're the worst team in the league. How could they be playing?
I think that Carolina wins more games than New England.
I think.
I mean, that could be close. That could be close.
I think Carolina wins more games than New England.
Everyone's written off young. I mean, I just.
Another guy I want you to look at.
I'm writing him off. You're right.
I'm not.
Written off.
Jalen Polk.
What? Is he with the Patriots?
He is with the Patriots.
I heard he's pretty good.
He is a good wide receiver. You got the Davis guy. Watch for Jalen.
Oh, yeah. I have another pop.
No.
How many pops are you allowed to have?
Gabriel Davis. Oh, he's gonna have a big season.
Okay. All right. Too many pops. I had one pop, one flop. Uncle Clint, one pop, one flop, and you got this big long list of offensive linemen.
It don't matter if he pops or flops.
No, it don't. But we're moving on.
I think he plays for
the other thing I don't like is with Kyren Williams. In the particular league that I got him in, if he runs a punt back for a score, you don't get the points.
Oh, in the auction?
It goes to the defense. The defense isn't even on the field. They should never get the points in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I don't think he's going to be. A lot of times what will happen
is. I heard Roma Duse was returning punts.
Maybe they want to give a guy. Maybe he was able to open up a roster spot for somebody and they put him down as returner to start the season. That probably won't
happen. Quorum's
not going to be getting the
carries. If the Bears like that. Put that Bayless Jones receiver, as too. Their punt returner, they're going to have 10 drop balls at punt return. Bayless Jones can't catch.
No, it was the other guy that couldn't catch.
Bayless Jones can't catch either.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a good year. This Malachi Corley for the Jets, he's going to have a big season. He's my Tank Dell, my little guy for the year. And then that other guy, Trey Tucker, 5'7", L.A. Raiders.
What about Xavier? What about Worthy? Points. Xavier Worthy. What do you think he's going to do with KC? I like him because I think Kelsey's going to start.
Worthy will probably have a decent season because Mahomes makes everybody better.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and I think as long as Rodgers stays on the field, there's enough. My concern about like Nico Collins for $101 and Tank Dell is.
There's too many wideouts.
How much ball is there to go around?
I'm a little concerned about Tank Dell being injured.
And don't they have a good tight end, too? Is that where Schultz is? Is he in? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of. And they got Mixon in the backfield now?
That's why they're Rams. You got Kupp and you got Puka. You don't have anybody else. Those two guys are going to be getting the bulk of the pass share. Both of those guys can get 100 receptions each.
Oh, yeah. No, they're capable. Both those guys are healthy, I would say. That they'll both get to 100 balls. I would agree with that. Let's talk the picks. All right, boys. We got to take six of this. Starting off Thursday night, we got a game in KC. Then we got a game in Brazil. Do you know that?
Yeah, I heard that.
They're playing in Brazil. So Ravens.
I don't like any game.
You got two Thursday games?
Ravens at Chiefs. Just one. There's a Friday game. They're competing with high school
Stay
football.
Away from the Ravens-Chiefs game.
Ravens-Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 2.5.
Stay away.
Okay. Yes. We got the Packers versus, there's no home team here, Packers versus Eagles. Eagles favored by 2.5.
Stay away.
Yeah, I like that. No,
stay away.
I don't like that game either. We got Carolina at New Orleans.
You got to pick
New Orleans favored by 4.5.
You
got
to pick New Orleans.
I like New Orleans.
Well, first, can you just get this out of the way?
I got overruled.
Uncle Clint cannot get off this Carolina thing. If Carolina, how many wins do you think they're going to have this year? Seven? No way they win seven games.
The Bears had 7 wins last year.
There's no way they're going to win 7 games.
Did you see the improvements they made on that offensive line?
I don't care.
Bryce their Young quarterback, came over the offensive line.
Their quarterback I can take out in a wrestling match. It's a big problem. Let me tell you right now, as a professional football player, you shouldn't be able to beat him in wrestling.
He gets knocked over by his offensive line.
If his offensive lineman accidentally taps him, he's going down.
Mark it down, 7 wins, Carolina.
No.
All right, it's we're on the tape. We're on the tape. He's going Carolina 7 wins. So hey, you think
remember you guys laughed at me when I said Dallas was going to NBA Finals last year too, and I got all
You said seven Dallas wins. Was winning the whole thing. No, it was a good pick. It was a really good pick. Let's go. Okay, we'll put that game on the shelf. Again,
New Orleans, you can pick.
I like New Orleans at home favored by 4.5, but New Orleans, I'm not that.
New Orleans
honestly,
doesn't have that great of a team.
That division stinks. That division's awful.
Tampa Bay's probably going to win it again.
We got the Bears favored by 4.5 over the Titans.
You got to pick that game.
I like the Bears.
He
can't go Bears. He can't bring himself to do it. He thinks Caleb's not going to have it. You got to go Bears.
They should win again. 4.5's a lot, though.
It is a lot. Yeah, but I like it. All right, we got Houston at Indy. Houston favored by 2.5 on the road.
I take Indy.
I love that game. You can't go against Houston in week one. Houston looks like a potential Super Bowl team. You're going to go against them right out of the gate?
Indy was one play away from beating them and knocking them.
Who's
out?
Well, it's a divisional game, so it's going to be close.
Stay away from that game.
I don't want those divisional games. It can go either way.
Anytime. There's got to be something better.
We got Buffalo at home against Arizona. Buffalo's favored by 5.5.
Buffalo cover, no doubt.
5.5.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know Arizona.
Buffalo cover.
Arizona.
Kyler Murray is also.
Another short quarter.
So far, we've picked three home teams to cover: Saints, Bears, Buffalo.
I didn't pick three.
Actually, I'm not sure about the Saints game.
I know, but hey, if you sell me on something, you can overrule it.
I'm not sure about the Saints.
So we got the Patriots at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 8.5.
Easy cover for Cincinnati.
No.
Easiest cover in a week.
No, I like it.
New England stinks. They stink.
New England does look bad.
New England stinks.
All right, let's keep going. We it takes sometimes.
No,
a
you're
bit.
Not going with that.
I clicked it.
No,
I clicked it.
That's
but
not.
But I
no.
submit them all at the same time. So
no.
We have the Jaguars.
Don't pick that.
I like it.
No,
we have the Jaguars at the Dolphins, with the Dolphins favored by 3.5.
Dolphins should cover.
That's a tough game. I don't like that game. Dolphins. I actually kind of like the Jaguars in that game. I don't know. We'll come back to that.
Who's on Hard Knocks for the regular season?
I did see this. No, I can't remember.
No, they Miami was last year.
With the what's the coach's name? What's the coach's name? Cocaine Daniels. Have you seen it? They showed the difference of him.
He had
the polo shirt on his first year with the glasses and stuff. Now they show him, his hair's all greased up. He's got a perm. He's got the half sunglasses on. They're calling him Cocaine. What's his last name again?
McDaniels.
Cocaine McDaniels. Guy looks like he's a drug kingpin down there in Florida. All right, we got – so that was Miami Jaguars. We got Vikings at the Giants. Wow.
What a stink.
Oh, God. We got the Giants favored by 0.5 point. That's a pickle.
The Giants are favored. Is it – what's it at? Is it at home?
That is a dumpster fire right
where's
there.
Where's it at?
At New York. So the Vikings are technically favored. Because you figure you get – what do you get, 3 points at home?
That's a horrible game for week one. That should not be on TV.
Prime time.
Anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, what? No,
I'm
not.
All right. We got the Steelers at the Falcons. With the Falcons
like the
favored
Steelers.
By 2.5.
I like the Steelers.
Oh, that's a cover. That's a cover.
Steelers.
You like the Falcons there?
Yes, I like
Steelers.
Falcons are a big time team this year. Big time.
You think so?
Yes.
I'm concerned.
I think the Falcons won 12 games this year.
Oh man. All right. Let's keep going. We got Denver at Seattle, and we got Seattle favored by 5.5.
I like Denver. Pass.
Some of these teams we just don't know enough about yet. I don't like that. Seattle, I think, could be a surprise team this year, but I also don't like to bet against
Geno people. Smith for $1. You could have got him too all day.
I didn't want Geno Smith. No. I think you're going to be just fine with Love.
Oh, yeah.
We got Vegas at the Chargers. With the Chargers favored
Chargers.
By 3.5.
The Chargers are favored in that game? They suck.
Yeah, I like
it's
Vegas.
The Harbaugh effect, man.
3.5?
I know. If that was 2.5, I think I'd go Chargers. I don't like it at 3.5. All right, let's keep going.
What was the game?
Like Vegas.
It's in L.A. But there's no home field advantage there in L.A.
I wouldn't pass on that game.
Pass?
No, I like Vegas.
Pass. Dallas at Cleveland. I'll consider it. Dallas at Cleveland. Gotta the go Browns down. Favored by 2.5.
Gotta go Dallas.
Browns are favored over Dallas.
And Cleveland.
Yeah, in Cleveland.
Yes! Yes. It's a hard game.
I know, dude. The first week is usually... All right, we got Washington at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
You got to let me say the line.
How much are they
you
covering?
Have to hear the line. Okay. You know, all right. Tampa's got to cover 3.5.
That's a cover.
You think so?
Yes, I think Tampa covers.
The Rams at Detroit. Detroit favored by 3.5.
Rams.
In Detroit.
Rams.
That's
a tough game. That's a pass.
You can't. First of all, you can't have so much conviction to every game. If you do, you're going to look back and go, "I said this. I said that." You can't have conviction on every single game.
I do.
All right. What else do we got?
We got the Jets at the 49ers, with the 49ers favored by 3.5.
49ers, they got it covered.
God, these games all suck the first week. They're tough.
But we did. That's it. That's the Monday night game. We did pick six games. The six games that I felt were you guys were the most confident in. Caden, we got the Saints at home against Carolina.
I like that.
I do like that. Do you like that?
You guys both liked it.
I thought he liked it.
He did originally.
No, I like
it.
Now
he knocked the mic over. First mic down. All right, first mic down. He almost made it through the whole show, dude. That was impressive.
He said he liked it.
He did, because you said you got outvoted on that. I have to click that off now because I need at least two votes to take it. And I'm. You guys remember that game. The Saints are going to win that game. Panthers stink. All right. I'm off that.
Seven wins for the Panthers. Seven.
We had had at least two votes for the Bears covering against the Titans at 4.5. Are you in on that now?
I'm out. I don't like that.
I don't care. We're going with the Bears, man. This is the Bears' year. We're going 10-7. We're going to get in the playoffs. We're going to lose, but we're going to get there. All right. Our next pick was Buffalo over Arizona, covering 5.5. Our next pick was Cincy, covering 8.5. Against the Patriots.
Oh, 8.5. I didn't know.
Yes, I told you it was 8.5.
I still think Cincy covers.
Are you okay with that?
Stays.
I think New England's going to be pretty.
Yeah, but they're going to be a team that like goes out of nowhere and just like blows them out. I feel like. Jacoby Brissett's playing with something.
I don't think they're going to be doing any blowing.
No, early, I don't think they're going to blow anybody out. I'll stick with Cincy there. Joe Burrow's return should be interesting. Our next game that we picked was Atlanta over Pittsburgh, covering 2.5.
Yes, I like that game. That's the game I'm the most confident about.
The next game that we picked was Tampa covering 3.5 over Washington.
That's a cover, yes.
I can't believe you guys like Tampa that much in that game. All right.
Baker Mayfield's going to have a
You guys outvote me.
Oh, yeah, another.
All right, here's what we got. Here's what we got left. We pulled one off the board. We pulled a game off the board. You guys pulled the Saints
off. I like Cleveland over Dallas.
No, that's a stay away.
I think that's a stay away as well.
That's a stay away.
I don't like that. What about, all right, you got Detroit and the Rams. We wanted to stay away from that. The Niners, Jets, we wanted to stay away from that. What about Seattle, Denver? We wanted to stay away from that. What about we take the Giants?
Yeah, no,
we take the Giants.
I like the Jags over the Dolphins.
Straight up at home.
Giants over the Vikings. Very possible.
I like the Jags over the Dolphins.
Minnesota, I don't think it's going to be that good.
We're going one of these two games. Okay, guys, we're going one of these two games. We're going with
we're gonna
pick Miami, Jacksonville. Do you have any conviction that the Jags are gonna stay with the Jags are getting 3.5?
I like Miami from the beginning.
All right, I'm passing. I don't like either one. You guys are split on that. I don't like it. I like the Giants at home to win. Pick it. Caden, Giants at home to win over the Vikings.
I told you I like the Jacksonville.
But go ahead and take it.
I like the Jacksonville.
Who do you like, Miami?
Better than the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants.
Giants and Vikings.
I got a weird feeling the Giants are being sold short here. I think the Giants are going to start off 1-0. All right, we got them in, boys. We got Bears, Bills, Bengals, 3Bs, Giants, Falcons, Tampa Bay. We're picking two teams from the AFC South. That scares me. That's all right. You just got to go with it. Go with the flow. Submit it. Be done with it. The Cubs, again, just when we thought we were out, they sucked us back in.
Now,
I think we're out again. 5-0 Pirates.
We got to win 2 or 3 against the Dodgers and the Yankees to stay
in. You want to win 2 or 3 against the Dodgers and the Yankees? And we're losing the first 2 against the Pirates.
It's all right.
It's not all right.
Game one against the Pirates.
It is not all right.
Well, our new guys have been so good. They've been selling now. Tyson Miller just gave up back-to-back starts on home
runs. You hit Leiter in there yesterday. We win the game.
Yeah. Well, I think that Leiter move kind of sounds like a bad type of move because that Neely guy was supposed to be really good.
Was on your, he had all kinds of things to say on his radio show earlier.
Who did?
Council.
What does Council have to say? He's got a radio show?
He comes on before every Cubs game for the manager's session on the score at 6-7. He gives you his take on we decided to shut Steele down. But it's not a minor injury. I'm sure he'll be able to come right back. He's out for the year. There's no way they're sitting that guy down at this game. An important
Hendricks
game
didn't do bad, though. Five
he ain't out.
Hendricks can compete. One time through
Hendricks
the lineup.
Is a competitor.
He can go one time
I'm
through
telling
the
you, he would be really good if the Cubs put him in the bullpen. But they just don't know.
They were just going to move him to the bullpen when Mitch came back, and now Steele's out. So Hendricks is back in again.
I got to say, now that we've been doing this a year, the money zone, we're right at about an hour here, but I think the money pods are in that hour to an hour and a half range. And it's been a good run. We basically have been consistent, getting about at least one pod a week out. But I will say, I think there's a break zone in there, and we hit it because we started getting sporadic with the pods and that, like, after the MLB All-Star game. Yeah. There's not that much going on. No. So I think next year I'm going to look at it and go, hey, we might take, like, a three-week break from the pods because once you get back in the NFL, there is so much to talk about.
Fans are beating me up on this Frank Thomas
thing. No, it's a silent war.
Anytime they want to compare any stats, Frank Thomas played one-third of his games in first base. One-third.
It's a silent war. I will not mention his name. He was.
I think I know who it is.
Well, when it comes to Sox fans, it's not like trying to guess a Cubs fan.
I think I know who
There's
it
only
is.
A couple of them out there.
I think it
There's
is.
Not that many. And if you
I've
want.
I've commented on the guy before. So I think it's the same guy.
I told him, I said, you guys got a little silent war going. My guy, he listens to us on his walks, so we don't want you firing too many shots at him. Big Frank Thomas guy, his kid wears 35 in honor of Frank all the time. That's his it's his favorite player.
Sad to say, the White
Sox. I didn't say that.
I know, you did it. You did a good cover-up. A good cover-up on it.
That's just you.
And you said you don't like the DH.
Correct.
And that's fair. But
sad to say the White Sox about to have one of the worst records ever.
No, the White Sox right now.
Frank Thomas is a magnificent hitter.
One of the best. One of the best.
Terrible fielding first baseman. And he would have been injured if he played first.
He was not a great fielding first baseman.
Terrible. Stunk. And they would have put him out there because they needed his stick in the lineup.
But Trout's still, when you compare it to Trout's still young enough.
Pull up. Trout's last, since 2017, pull up his statistics.
He's still young enough, though. Mike Trout baseball reference.
I think he's got 80 home runs since 2017, and 40 of them were in 1 year.
He did. He only had one big year. I pulled it up the other day when you mentioned him. I had to look him up. He hit. Here's my issue. This year, he played in, I don't know how many games, but he had 110 at-bats, and he batted .220. I mean, that's what scares me. It's like when he's on the field, he's
finished.
Not,
he's
I
finished.
Don't think he's finished. I don't think, but he has played 14 years. He's played 14 years.
And half of his career has been good. Half.
And he has, let me tell you right now, he led the league in walks three times. That's pretty impressive. His last good year
2020.
Was 20, well, here, in 2017, he had 33 homers, 72 RBIs. 2018, 39 homers, 79 RBIs. 2019, 45 homers, 104 RBIs. Then 2020, 17, 46. 2021, 8 and 18. So obviously not playing much and down. The year he had 17, he only played 53 games, then 36 games. Then in 22, he played 119 games.
Next year he had 40.
He had 40 homers, 80 RBIs. Yeah. And then he went 18, 44, and then this year 10, 14. So he's just, I mean, he's not getting in the games. He's played less than 60 games in three of the last five seasons.
I mean, this is crazy. How many games did Frank Thomas play at first base?
You can't do that. It doesn't tell you. I tried to find it before. You have to dig through all the records and everything to find it. It's not easy to find. Mike Trout.
When you go down there and it says position statistics when you go on Baseball Reference. Position statistics will break it down for you. They'll show you.
Are you going to make an argument that Mike Trout is not a Hall of Famer if he only gets like 450 home runs?
Yes.
Even though.
Three-time MVP.
Three-time MVP, Rookie of the Year. He's been in the All-Star game for, looks like he made it 12 consecutive years. He Silver Slugger Award. I'm trying to see. I don't know. I don't see Gold Gloves listed here. I would have thought he would have had at least one Gold Glove, but maybe it's not. I don't know that Baseball Reference lists it with the batting numbers here. Hey, Caden, look up. Ask Google if Mike Trout has any Gold Glove awards. Because, man, I can't. Dude, he's got 1,648 career hits. This is going to be interesting.
He has not won a Gold Glove.
He has not. This is going to be interesting. I don't know, man.
You say he's in.
I think he's in, yeah. I think he's in. Because I think for a long enough period of time, he was the best player in the game. He was the best player in baseball, hands down, for probably seven seasons. I would say seven seasons. That's a long time. That's why he won, three MVPs outright? He was top five probably four or five other times.
I mean, I'd be on the outside edge of that argument. I think more people would say he should be in.
You know me. My track record with all great players in any sport is how good they were in a small period of time. I don't need to see Brady 25 years in the league. I don't need that to dictate. Yeah, now, I can't give a guy 1 year.
But consistency has to have something to do with it.
Right. I mean, oh, no. Look,
this guy just completely fell off the map.
I'm a LeBron James guy. You know what I mean? So I agree that. But I'm saying, like, if you were the best player in the league for 7 years,
there's a reason why LeBron and Kareem got the most points in the NBA. They had longevity. These guys kept their body in good enough shape to stay healthy for that long of a time to be able to put up those numbers. And LeBron's impressive. His numbers don't fall off. He just keeps chugging right along.
No,
I was talking to these guys in my shop the other day about the argument was between Wilt and Jordan, who was better. And I told the guy, I said, if I could rub the top of a genie's head right now, I wish we could put Wilt Chamberlain in Michael Jordan's era. Because then the argument would be over. There would be no argument.
Dude, I've said it before, and I think obviously it's tough to go across eras. Everybody talks about, Chamberlain played against little guys and all that stuff.
I think in this era, the way basketball is played now, Jordan averages 40 a game.
And he might, but I think Jordan's era was weak, honestly. I really do. I think Jordan's era was weak.
When you came down the lane, those guys from the Pistons and those guys, they pounded you.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that.
They pounded you.
I agree.
Nowadays, nobody even drives hardly through the lane because they're all out there jacking up three-pointers from the outside. There's no defense being played. You're averaging 130, 140 points a game. Back in the Jordan era, you were lucky if you got over 100. You had 90-point games back then because teams actually played defense.
The game hasn't been this way for as long as you think. If you look back at some of even the finals that LeBron competed in, the scores were under 100 points. This has really the three-point craze probably from maybe LeBron's kind of second run. Yeah, the 2015 range.
10 years now, probably somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's starting to get there. But again, LeBron James has played through multiple eras here. I mean, you could say he's probably put together three separate Hall of Fame careers, honestly.
Yeah, with his numbers and stuff.
But again, if you take a guy, like if you look in the NBA and you give me a guy that was the best player in the league for 5-6 years, to me, that guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I just. What Jokic is doing, I mean, Jokic to me has been the best player in the league for 5 years.
He's a Hall of Famer.
If he goes and gets on his wagon,
never wins a title.
If he goes to his wagon, he's won a title. He won a title 2 years ago.
Right.
But if he goes and gets on his wagon in Serbia and he's happy out there, to me, that guy's in the Hall of Famer.
What about a guy like Luka?
Luka is close. Luka's close. He's been top five player in the game now for probably 3 or 4 years.
He puts together 3 more seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's the best offensive player.
A guy that plays zero defense is an automatic Hall of Famer.
He doesn't play zero defense. He doesn't play much of it. He's not a great defender, but he's so great offensively.
You need to, just like I argue with baseball, with no DH being in, because you need to be all around. You shouldn't be allowed to be in the Hall of Fame if all you can do is swing a bat.
His offensive game, it depends. How great are you? Luka's offensive game is so good that he was able to get an average team to the NBA Finals because his offense is so good. Despite his defense, his offense is that good. A guy like Frank Thomas, Shohei Ohtani, they're so good with the bat in their hands that they don't need to have it with the glove. Well, Shohei's a pitcher. Again, Shohei's in a class of his own because he pitches too.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani.
But Frank Thomas, Edgar Martinez, guys that were like career DH guys, the only reason that they could do that is because they were so good with
but
the bat.
How many?
These are not average guys you're putting
in. Take a guy like McGuire, who didn't like the DH. McGuire didn't believe in a designated hitter. How many more home runs would this guy hit if he would have hung around and DH'd? I mean, but he believed he got to play the field.
Bonds didn't DH.
He did not.
They chased these guys out of the league, dude. Bonds got chased out of the league. Bonds wasn't done. You could look at Bonds' numbers right now. The last time he was in the league, he got chased out because of the PED stuff. Bonds had more time left in him. When Bonds left the game, Bonds had 100 home runs left in him. The guy was still locked in. He was still playing good baseball. So McGuire the same way. They chased those guys out of the game.
And McGuire and Sosa pretty much single-handedly put baseball back on the map. These guys brought baseball back. Baseball was dead.
It was.
And people started watching because McGuire and Sosa were hitting the ball out of the ballpark. People used to say whatever they want. Baseball turned their head. They probably knew these guys were using steroids at that time.
Totally.
They turned their head because these guys were putting butts in the seats. And then all of a sudden the game gets turned around and then they throw these guys under the mattress.
Final thing. You want Rose in the Hall of Fame?
Pete Rose? It's hard for me because he bet on his own team in a baseball game. It makes it very hard for me.
You don't want him in the Hall? He's got more hits than anybody's ever had as a player.
But he disgraced the game. He disgraced the game by betting on a team that he managed from his own dugout. That's disgraceful.
Who knows what half these guys are doing? I agree. I agree that he deserved a suspension. I agree that you could kick him out of the game. But the work that he did while he was in the game belongs in the Hall of Fame. And in O.J. Simpson is a murderer. He belongs in the Football Hall of Fame.
Rafi Palmeiro.
He absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame.
This guy's got 3,000 hits and 500 home runs.
Every single guy on the PED list belongs in the Hall of Fame, period. Again, going back to Frank again, you got to give Frank and Pujols all their due, especially Frank, because Frank was right in the middle of the PED era. And he came out of that scotch-free.
Frank never used PEDs.
So you got to give him credit for that because he was dead set in the middle of that era.
And Frank was a great hitter.
I'm just saying he's a unique.
Never,
he might be one of the standout guys that was
that
not.
Thomas wasn't a great hitter. Thomas was a great hitter. My argument is I don't feel like had he had to play first base that he would have played long enough to amass Hall of Fame numbers.
I was just making the point that
right.
he did
that
survive Pete
Air.
Now, I think they should be in. I want Rose in. You start looking at the numbers
again,
of the guys
that
are getting in.
I'm a guy that doesn't think any designated hitter, I don't care if he hits 800 homers. I don't think a designated hitter should be in because it's a bogus position.
Don't drive me crazy. It's a position. These guys are contributing to their teams day in, day out. Hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. They train guys. The Oakland A's, the year that they won the 20 games in a row back in the Billy Bean thing, they trained the guy to play first base.
All these other guys run the risk of getting hurt, running around in the field, making plays, and they get to watch their teammates sit on the bench and swing a bat two or three times.
Under your argument, pitchers shouldn't be able to get in because all they do is pitch.
I think the pitcher should bat every game.
Yeah, but
I think a pitcher should be.
But in your argument, they got to be good at hitting too.
No.
Yeah, they got to be good because they can't just pitch. You can't just do one thing. You can't just.
Oh, they can stink at hitting, but they should at least bat.
Shohei Ohtani should be your all-time favorite player. The guy can pitch his way in, and he can hit his way.
Yes. Correct.
But you can't say that just because a guy can just hit.
Two-way player.
If you can just hit and get in, then you should be able to just pitch and get in, or just pitch and get in, or just hit and get in. You got to be able to. I don't like this argument. DH is, if they can hit, and they can hit, they're great hitters, you got to get in.
25 or 30 years, the DH didn't even exist in one of the leagues.
Look, if it exists, and the guys get to play that spot, and they accumulate
but
Hall of Fame numbers, they're Hall of Famers.
But how do you handicap half of the guys in baseball? How do you handicap half of the guys in baseball that didn't have the ability to DH?
Look, there's no that, no. Era. Think about this.
You're handicapping all those guys.
I'm talking about guys maybe in a what separate era of the
Thomas
game.
Thomas played in the National League.
Here's the thing. Well, there was if he played in the National League and he couldn't play, they'd have cut him and he'd have got signed in the American League. That's what would happen.
They'll put him out there at first base and they'll take his liability at first base because he can hit. But he would put his team at a liability at first base.
That's what you're
missing. Instead of being able to replace him with a guy that can play the position and take the liability away.
What you're missing, though, is he's just going to extend his career in the American League. He can that's where he's going to end up. So the guy that can just hit is going to end up in the league at the time that allowed the DH. He's still going to have a spot because of that. He's not going to be in the NL.
That's right. There should be no DH in baseball.
You just don't like the DH.
I can't stand it.
Now let's get back to Rose. Let's get back to Rose. Did you see the HBO thing?
No, I didn't.
Pete Rose, again, I want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. He's got the most hits ever in baseball. But Pete Rose is a complete scumbag. And they can't even do a special on him on HBO without him coming. They were almost trying to show him in a certain light. And he would continue to just say the dumbest stuff. And he's got a really sketchy background. He probably with potential with underage girls and all.
Have any doubt that Rose gambled while he played.
Oh, no. Well, without a doubt. You watch anything on Pete Rose and you see him today and how he is.
Pete Rose is one of the most arrogant individuals on the face of the earth.
For sure. For sure.
Pete Rose is arrogant. He's extremely arrogant.
Oh, God. No, you could see it. You could see the narcissism. It comes across on film. With that being said, I wish he didn't have his legal problems because when he was on TV with Frank Thomas and Alex Rodriguez, it was some of the funny. They were competing with what Chuck, Ernie, Shaq, Kenny do on TNT. Pete Rose was... Guys would be doing their takes, and all of a sudden his head would come around the corner and peek in. He had no right on TV, and he was hysterical. They said their ratings were through the roof.
Doing legal problems now?
He's got a lot of legal problems. He's that guy. I mean, he just – you got to watch the show. Watch the HBO thing on him. It was interesting. It was like a four-part series. Anybody listening, check it out. HBO did a four-part thing on Pete Rose. It was kind of interesting. But, man, there's just no way that guy doesn't come across with some real questionable character. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to with him.
Another guy that used to be real, real arrogant. He always talked to himself in the first person.
Oh, don't talk about my guy.
Brett's favorite player.
Don't talk about
him. Ricky Henderson. You can go get him an autograph. Man, Ricky don't sign. Ricky don't sign autographs. Ricky be Ricky.
He'd get trapped up in Sox Park in a white van with no windows in it. He'd open the doors up and jump out of the back. You try to get his autograph. Man, Ricky only signs for Ricky. Ricky don't sign for nobody else. Ricky only signs for Ricky.
No, you told me Ricky don't sign on Sundays. Yeah, remember?
Yeah,
he told you?
Ricky don't sign on Sunday, man.
Oh, man. Ricky
Henderson.
He gets
dropped off. He had a guy that had a white panel van that he must have known from where he lived in Chicago. And that's how he got. And he'd get out of the back of it, not the back seat, the back. He'd open up the back doors. And get out of this thing, and they tried sneaking inside.
So you'd be sitting in the autograph hound spot, and that's where he'd roll up in a panel van?
No, Ricky didn't roll up in front of the autograph hound spot. Ricky rolled up around the corner or down the block or somewhere, and then tried finagling his way in.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Ricky was.
Talk about an all-time great. Greatest leadoff hitter of all time.
Greatest leadoff hitter ever.
Yeah, man, he was fun to watch. All right, this has been fun, and he was cool. Remember how cool he was? He had the fluorescent batting gloves, and he had a little bit of flair to him back when there wasn't a lot of flair in baseball. All right, this has been fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember to like us, follow us on Spotify and Apple, wherever you get your pods. We hope everybody has a great night.